So we're continuing this morning with our series on living sacrifices. And this morning I want to talk about living in hope despite the pain. Because that's what we all are called to do, isn't it? There's a lot of pain. Before I get into my message, though, I had a word that I need to give, so I don't forget. As I was preparing my message, I was reminded of Abraham. And Abraham was an old man when he was called, 75. He was the old man when he began to see the fulfillment of the promises that God made over him at that time. He was 100. But in between times, he tried to make the dreams happen. When he was learning patience, when he was learning perseverance, he was desperate for God's promises to come true, that he would have children. And his wife suggested he have a son via their maidservant, Hagar. And so she gave Hagar to Abraham, and he had a son, Ishmael. Now, after that time, God appeared to Abraham and says, your descendants through Sarah are going to be the people that I work through. They're the ones that are going to inherit the land. And Abraham turned around to the Lord and said, look, if only Ishmael can grow up. You know, this is an 85, 90-year-old man now talking, maybe a bit older. If only Ishmael could now go on and be blessed by God, then I'll be happy. He was given a dream. He was given a dream that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars with him and Sarah. And life kicked the stuffing out of that dream. The sheer monotony of ordinary life and the failure of that any sign of that dream becoming a reality made him give up on it. And so he says to God, please, can the promises you made for me, I know you made some, but can they be fulfilled via Ishmael, please, now instead? I don't have the faith for this other thing to happen, this thing that you promised, you spoke over me. And God says, no. I'm going to visit you, and your wife is going to give birth. And what was Abraham's response? Anybody know? He laughed. Not out of joy, out of disbelief. Can this old man have a baby? Can this old man have seed still in him? Can my wife have a baby at her age? And so God says, yes, you will, and you're going to call the baby Laughter. But the thing is, when I was just, the word the Lord gave me was that the Lord says that, you know, that someone or some people here have allowed the pain of life to knock the stuffing out of their dreams. And you settled for less than what was spoken over you. You've settled for less than the promise. And God says, no. I want to breathe fresh life into the promises that were spoken over you. I want to breathe fresh hope into your hearts today. I want to make you laugh. Maybe out of disbelief, maybe out of joy, hopefully out of both. But actually, I want to make you laugh. So if that is for you, and you will know if it's for you or not, because you will know if you've allowed your dreams to be trampled by life. And I'm not making any judgments because they're difficult to hold on to, especially when we don't see a sign of the fulfillment. But God says, no. I'm going to visit you. I'm breathing fresh life into that dream. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. And my prayer this morning is that God will breathe fresh hope into us, that we may be people of hope, that we may live hope, we may carry hope despite the pain. Remember, our series is based upon Romans 12, 1-2. Not being conformed, not being molded, not being pressured to be like the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And remember the context that is in the book of Romans, that wonderful story of God's faithfulness throughout the ages, of God looking for a people that are going to trust him, about a righteousness that comes, a rightness with God that comes to all those that trust him, whether Jews or Gentiles. How that it's impossible to do it on our own strength, but how that God sent his son Jesus to show us the way to live a spirit-empowered life, and how we get to chapter 8, the spirit sets us free to be sons of God. So on the back of that, we end up with chapter 12. You know, and if you often wonder, if you had a page of the Bible to be able to take away with you to a desert island, you know, this would be one that would be worth taking. This is packed with stuff. It's dynamite chapter. You know, there's enough food to meditate on this chapter for the rest of your life. And we're going to do a little bit about that now. Remember that's the picture we had about the world trying to squeeze us and mold us from the outside. So in this instance, it's the pains that we experience. It's the disappointments that we experience. It's the not happenings that we experience that are trying to shape us and crush us and keep us small, get us to lose our hope, to settle for less than what has been spoken over us, to settle for less than what we dreamed of. But the Spirit is working from the inside, and we're not to be conformed by the outside pressures, but to release the life that God gives us from the inside out. So the verses we're going to look at are these from Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 12. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You can see what I mean by any one of those. Could be something you could talk about all day, really. So, you know, what is it then that enables us, some of us, to get out of bed, to leap out of bed in the mornings and charge into the day, and some of us to drag our carcasses like rusty hinges out of the bed, as it says in Proverbs? What is it? What's the difference? Sometimes it's sleep. Yeah, sometimes it's sleep. As you get older, I think, I'm sure I used to sleep better than I do now. Little things wake you up. So yes, sleep sometimes, but something more fundamental than that, and we've already talked about, is hope. You know, one of our favourite images, isn't it, is from Isaiah 40. It talks about those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Where's Paul Stock? Did he run and not grow weary last week? Oh, he's still weary. He's not here. They shall walk and not grow faint. He's up Snowden today. Oh, my word. Yeah, he's full of hope. Yeah, so that's good. This morning, we want to shape our wings a little bit to catch the breath of God, because the eagles don't get there by the strength of the flapping. They get there by shaping their wings. So we want to shape our wings to let the Spirit blow and lift hope. Let hope lift our hearts this morning. Amen? So we're looking at that first verse. Are we being diligent? Are we being fervent in the Spirit and serving the Lord? God, that sounds like hard work, doesn't it? If we're honest, doesn't it? Making ourselves fervent, making ourselves diligent, making ourselves serve. The whole chapter begins actually with recognizing, actually, you know, let's not be conformed to the world. Let's present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It begins by recognizing actually that we're all gifted, that we're all anointed. You're anointed. All that means is you've been chosen. You've been especially chosen for a particular job, a task, a role. We all have gifts and abilities God has given us. And it says use them according to your faith. If lead in worship, then lead well, with joy and life. If preaching, then preach. If giving, then give. If leading, then lead. Whatever our gifts are, if there's administration, then administer well. If it's serving, then serve. If it's having mercy, then have mercy to the utmost. It's encouraging us. Because the danger is we can lose our first love like the Ephesian church. Remember, John writes to the Ephesian church and he says, I remember your sacrifices, I remember your service, I remember your hard work and all the stuff you do for the Lord, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love. Are we as fervent now in spirit as we were when we first got saved? When we first set out on this journey to build church, some of you 40 odd years ago. Are we as fervent? Are we as energetic? Well, it's hard to be as energetic when you get older, but you know what I mean. Are we as energetic? Have we lost our first love? And what are the signs of that? You know, the signs could be how much time we make to sit and be with God, whether that's reading our Bibles, whether that's just thinking about him, whether that's praying, whatever that might be. You know, that's a sign of our fervency. How much of our resources do we give to God? That's another sign. It's a black and white sign because you can't avoid it. It's there. You either have or you haven't. You can get away with saying, oh, I think about the Lord a lot. I'm pretty sure I do. But the bank balance is black and white, isn't it? How much time am I giving to serve the church? Another sign. Not just the church, actually. How much time do I give to doing what I know God loves me to do? That's more important, actually. What am I doing? Am I devoting my time to that? You know, I have to be honest, guys. When I come to Marlow, I used to come once every couple of months. I've been here a lot more in the last few months. And I have been a bit surprised by what I found at one level. Because there are signs to me that actually we could do a bit of shake-up. We could do with a fresh breath of God's Spirit. We could do with a fresh spirit, fresh wind of fervor. So, you guys are amazing. I love you. You're doing so many good things. I mean, amazing things in the town. Incredible, incredible. More than we've ever done, I think, in Marlow. And Sheila and Jill have, you know, done a lot of kids' work with holiday clubs and stuff like that. Amazing stuff that's gone on. But I think we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. God wants to breathe on us. I mean, a sign of that for me is the fact that we get a different congregation most weeks here. You know, I don't want to go back to the old days where if you didn't come every week, you were backslidden. Those of us who lived under those days know that how tough that was. But actually, you know, it's just a sign that we need a fresh breath of God's Spirit blowing on us. In our worship, we need a fresh breath of Spirit, of the Holy Spirit to blow through. Let's enter in wholeheartedly into our gatherings. Yeah, I just want to echo Jesus' challenge that he laid out for us all those years ago. Seek first the kingdom. I know that you need cars and holidays and friends and family and houses and schools and all the stuff of life, which is great, and God's given us them all to enjoy. But actually, let's not get enraptured by those. So actually, like the seeds that fell amongst the thorns, we actually get distracted by the good stuff. Let's seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Put it first, not second, not third, but first, whatever that might mean for you, because it's different for everybody, but seek first the kingdom. You know, the thing is, where does our fervor come from? Does it come from the fact that things are all going well? Is that where it comes from? So we joy, because actually there's so much happening that's good. Is that where our fervor comes from? No, it's not, is it? It can do. Obviously, when things go well, you look at people celebrating when they win the FA Cup, which a couple of teams are going to hope to do in a few weeks. Yeah, there's a lot of joy that happens when things go well, absolutely, but that's not where our fervour comes from. Our fervour comes from what it says in 2 Corinthians. You know, it comes from fixing our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Just let me read a couple of verses. Let these verses minister to your heart, because they minister to mine. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yeah, some of us are perishing faster than others. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And Paul himself is battling in this book, as he writes this book, with depression in a way, because he's saying that he's remembering all the tough stuff he's had to face, the sleepless nights, the persecutions, the stonings. And he says, we carry around the death of Jesus the whole time. We carry around the life of Jesus too. But we're crushed, but we're not, so we're persecuted, but not crushed. He says, doesn't he? We're pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, we carry around this wonderful treasure in jars of clay. So we need to fix our eyes on the unseen if we're to remain fervent serving the Lord. Well, how are we serving the Lord in these days? By the way, I should have turned the picture on. Oh, look, I've skipped through a few things there. They're the three things we're going to look at. Serving the Lord, patient in trouble, steadfast in prayer. Oh, look. That's not a normal picture, by the way. That's staged. Bless him. How do we keep our joy? How do we keep serving the Lord? Focusing on the unseen. Filling our hearts and heads with the things that are unseen, which are much more important. I'll come back to that. Patient in trouble. I have to get a mountain picture in there. Because that's a bit like life sometimes, isn't it? Life sometimes, it feels like we're walking uphill. We feel like the elements are against us. Paul and I do a lot of walking in the hills together. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's, you know, it's ridiculously easy. You can climb up, scamper up the highest mountains in an hour and a half or whatever, and it's glorious sunshine, and you're never going to get lost. Other times it's like this. It's miserable. You know, Paul and I spent hours. One day we spent about 10 hours just trudging through the rain together. I mean, what's that? That's horrible. It's not joyful. We had a joyful pint at the end of it, but you know. It's sometimes life can feel like everything's against us, that we're walking uphill, that things aren't going the way that we planned or the way that we hoped. Paul tells us, doesn't he? Because he wants us to have the right expectations. He says, be patient in trials and tribulations. Oops. Be patient in troubles and in your troubles. Because life is not easy. If we have an expectation that life will be easy, we will lose quickly our fervor. We'll lose our hope. We have to have the right expectations so that we can battle. Paul and I knew it was going to be rainy that day. So we set our hearts like flint in that sense. We knew we were going to get wet. We knew we were going to be cold. We just actually said we're going to do it in any case. If you can't fly, run, someone said. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. You've got to make progress. You've got to keep going and not give up. Don't let the elements grind us down, because life is not easy. We know that. The Bible teaches us that. Genesis chapter 3 teaches us that. But the ground is cursed for your sakes, verse 17 to 19. After Adam and Eve chose to rebel, chose their independence, thorns and thistles it will spring up. You'll earn your bread from the sweat of your brow. Things are going to be tough. That was the way it was going to be. Relationships are not going to be easy. Your desire will be for the husband, but he will rule over you. Death hangs over us. To dust we shall return. That was the curse which Jesus came to undo. But he doesn't undo it by kind of waving a magic wand and making all that stuff disappear. He undoes it as we choose to follow him, as we choose to lay down our lives, as we choose to persevere through the difficult stuff and bring bits of heaven as we go. You see, life is sometimes very difficult. Sometimes our kids don't turn out the way we might have hoped. Sometimes they don't end up following the Lord as passionately as we might want them to. They don't follow our example. Sometimes our families are not as joyful as we might hope they would be, as we dreamt they would be. We face more difficulties along the way. Sometimes our businesses are struggling up against the wall. But this is not new. This is what actually we have to expect at one level, to live in this broken world until the day comes when it's all put right. And that will happen, but not yet. It happens, and we can do a bit to make it a bit better. We've done a bit in Nepal already. We're going to do a bit more next week. But we can do a bit here, and let's not give up, but be patient in our troubles. Paul had the thorn in the flesh. You can argue about that, what that was. Some people say it was sickness. Some people say it was relational. Peter, bless him, they reckon was crucified upside down. James was killed by the sword, you know, it says in Acts chapter 12 by Herod. Jesus himself was persecuted, you know, and crucified. This is part of the norm, isn't it? They're extreme examples, but you know, all I'm saying is we have to have our head in the right place, because Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. If we don't expect it, it's like going up into the mountains without your waterproofs. That is really miserable. In fact, it's worse than miserable. It's dangerous. You could die. My friend Stephen Klemick, you know, he went up to the mountains in Snowdonia with us, and he wore a cotton T-shirt. And everyone who walks in the English hills knows that cotton kills in the hills, because you get wet and it doesn't dry out and you get cold. We had to abandon that trek because he nearly succumbed to hypothermia. So we will succumb to a spiritual hypothermia unless we have the right expectations of life. Colin, that's what it's supposed to be about, hope. But if our expectations are right, our hopes will be misguided. Our hopes has to be founded in reality, founded in what life is really like and the way that God actually works. There's always joy, there's always good stuff happening, but actually there's also a lot of pain. Hebrews 6, verse 12 says that we inherit the promises through patience, perseverance, long-suffering, not giving up. It's not a good message for this generation. It's not a good message for the people of Marlow, because actually, you know, you've got so much going for you. Fantastic. Can you know, I grew up in a council estate in Southampton. Can you imagine what I felt like when God brought me to Marlow? Can you imagine? I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Honestly, I was walking by the river and I just thought, this is ridiculous. I'm on permanent holiday. It's a completely different place from where I grew up. I grew up in fear. I grew up in poverty. I grew up with a lot of anger and a lot of hatred and a lot of oppression around. This was free in this place. Amazing. A lot of ease in this area. Incredible. So let's not give up. But let's keep persevering. Let's be patient. Let's expect troubles. They are not going to overcome us. We will overcome them. Jesus has also promised us that, if we don't give up, we will overcome. Lastly, then, be steadfast in prayer. Why pray? Well, you know, I can't talk for aeons about this. We pray for a few reasons. One, to get close to the Lord. Our faith is not a religion, it's a walk, it's a relationship, and prayer is just talking to God, chatting to God. It's key. We pray to be rewarded. Jesus says, you know, if you go into your room, pray, your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Yeah, okay, we don't do it always for the reward, but that's one of the reasons we do it. We also do it to allow God to do more on earth. We just said that this world is broken. There's so much pain and suffering. There's so many things that happen that make God cry, make God angry, make him weep. Our prayers are part of the way of bringing salvation. Our prayers are part of the way of making it all right. Every time we pray, we are saying to God, your kingdom come, your will be done. I trust you. I want your will to be done here. And since we're the rightful rulers, since we're the people who decide what happens here, God says, okay, I can do it now. We have incredible promises, don't we? Incredible promises. Jesus says, I call you my friends, and you can ask whatever you like of the Father. And I'll do it for you. Because he won't force his way in. But where he's invited, he comes. We see it again and again and again. I saw it this week. You know, last week we were praying for opportunities to share our faith as a church in the river together. How many people had an opportunity to share their faith this week, by the way? Out of interest. A few. There's a handful of us. That's good. I did. Fantastic. I was at a party and met someone who was a work colleague of a friend. So I said, have you got a faith? You see, you could just leave it. Oh, what do you do for a living? You know, what do you do at the place that they're working at? And I thought, no, actually, I'm going to just ask a question more, you know, find out. Have you got a faith yourself? No, but I'd like to. I think about these things. So we then had 20 minutes of conversation about faith. Fantastic. My favourite thing. A few weeks ago, I was here, and one of the congregation was hobbling out in pain. And we could just say, I'll pray for you, and let them go. But actually, I just said, no, I want to kind of pray for you now. Prayed, and the pain left immediately, and they walked out normally. That's fantastic. You see, the way God has set things up in this world is that we are the rulers of it. What we say happens. What we allow to happen happens. That's why there's so much pain on it. If it was God's will that was being done, it would be a completely different place. But God's will does get done as we walk with him, as we agree with him, as we seek to bring his kingdom. So let's be steadfast in prayer. And it doesn't mean getting on our knees. You know, that's a bad picture to put up in a way. You know, there aren't many of us that can spend hours on our knees every day. And if Paul says pray continually, that's crazy. You'd just be on your knees the whole time. I would hate that. But what it means is we can actually act like God is present and talk to him. You know, if I'm walking with you up a mountain or down a high street, go shopping with you, I'm just going to be talking to you, including you in on what I'm thinking and what we're doing. That's praying continuously, being aware of the presence of God, because when we're aware of the presence of God, all of a sudden all things become possible. I love the stories we heard earlier. People being really brave, being prepared to stand up for Jesus, being prepared to declare a little bit of the love of God. I remember one of my greatest joys was seeing my daughter Rachel learning that prayer works. When she was 3 years old, she prayed for a year and a half for a baby sister. Every day she would pray. Every day she prayed for a baby sister. And then on the day she learned that Sadie was pregnant, she said, thank you, Lord, for my baby sister. And we said, oh, bless her. She doesn't understand these things. But 9 months later, she had a baby sister. A few months later, she was regretting asking for a baby sister. Or actually, what she realised was she should have been a bit more specific. I want a baby sister that will enjoy playing the games that I like to play. I want a baby sister that won't ruin stuff, that let the hamster out and let it get run away, etc., etc. You know, so you could be a bit more specific in my prayers. But she learned that prayer. That prayer works. You know, yeah. I just encourage us to pray. So what can we do? Let's skip over that. What can we do to increase our hope? How can we let hope build up in our hearts? Because we all need hope. And the Lord, as I said, wants to breathe hope into us. There are some things that we can do. One is to meditate on God's faithfulness. You see, if you just look at a moment in time, if you look at a situation, you might say that God is not faithful. There's too much pain in that situation. Like in Syria at the moment, that's a whole country in pain. Or you can see a family which is under so much stress and pain it's breaking up. Or you can see a business that's under so much strain that it's collapsing. Or, you know, there's lots of things you can look at individual places and say, actually, that God is not faithful here. But if you look at the sweep of history, if you look at the moment, ever since God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you I'm going to bless every family on earth. Look at what's happened. Look at what has happened. Look at his faithfulness to promise after promise after promise. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. We think sometimes we have problems in this country. They laugh. There was a comedian on telly the other night, I think on Britain's Got Talent. He says, you could talk about a financial crisis. He said, that's not a crisis. I haven't seen planes flying over Birmingham, dropping bundles of fish and chips. You know, he's from Africa. They know what crises are. Or you look at The Last Kingdom. I love this King Arthur and how the kingdom story about how the kingdom was maybe getting established in this country. And violence and the pain as you were seeking to build a Christian kingdom there. But actually, we live in the good of that. Because the kingdom is keeping on coming and growing and growing. And it's still growing. God's faithfulness is amazing. Look at the promises he made thousands of years ago to Abraham and see how they were fulfilled as you read the Bible. Incredible promises given to Daniel about a kingdom coming in the time of the Roman Empire that would sweep away all other empires and keep growing till it fills the whole earth. We're seeing it if we've got eyes. God is faithful. Incredibly faithful when we look at the big picture. We need to meditate on the faithfulness of God. He always keeps his promises. That's the first lesson he taught us through Abraham. Another thing we need to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Run the race with perseverance. Throw off sin. Throw off the stuff that might encumber us, but fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. The pioneer of our faith, it says in another translation. Fix our eyes on Jesus. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, hope grows in us. Because he reminds us of how good God is. He tells us how loving and kind and gracious God is. Look at the way he accepts everybody. That means I'm going to be accepted. Seriously, it's joyful. Take heart. I have overcome the world. We see him overcoming death. We see him pushing through the pain for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, filling our thoughts, our minds with him and what he said and what he did releases hope to us when we face pain. It's not a magic wand. It won't make all the pain go away, but it releases hope to our hearts that God, because we're reminded of the faithfulness of God in it. And know that nothing is beyond God's redemption, even death. That fills us with hope. Fills me with hope. And lastly, remembering that God is with us. You see, sometimes things get so bad, we think that God's abandoned us. Sometimes the pain feels so terrible when we're losing a loved one. We can feel like, Jan's amazing. I've never known somebody walk the walk that she's walked so well. I honor her. I was with her, I spent a couple of hours with her this week. I honor that lady to walk the walk of faith and of hope and of joy in the midst of incredible physical pain and knowing that unless something amazing happens, she won't have long for this world. And yet she carries hope, she carries love, she carries joy because she keeps thinking about it. She has a mindset on the unseen. She says, I'll either be with you one way or another, Colin. She said, I'll either be with you, helping you to run the next Ignite course or whatever course is we run here, or else I'll be up in the cloud of witnesses, cheering you on or heckling you or whatever. Because she has a mind straight. She lives this stuff. What a great example for us. Whatever we face, to live love, joy, peace. To know that God is with us because he is. He hasn't abandoned us. Jesus said, I'll never abandon you. I am with you. I am for you. I am towards you. And yet the world will try and have us believe otherwise through pain, through the unfaithfulness of others. God is faithful. You know, that passage we love in Jeremiah 29:11, don't we? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope in the future. But that came at a point where they were thrown into captivity. Where they were oppressed by a foreign people. And God says, I haven't abandoned you. It came because of their rebellion. It came because they actually rebelled against God. And yet God says, I haven't abandoned you. I know the plans I have for you to give you hope and a future. Get married. Plant vineyards. Build houses. Let's stay in this for the long haul. I'm going to bless you. And God, I want to leave you with that thought. Because the Holy Spirit is here to breathe fresh hope into our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe fresh hope into our hearts. Thank you for your plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope in a future. If you need a fresh inspiration, a fresh breathing in of hope, breathe right in. Now breathe deeply. Because God is breathing hope over this place. The God of love, the faithful God, is breathing hope into our hearts again today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to say we refuse to settle for second best. We want to live under your promises. We want to run after your promises. Help us to lay hold of them again, Lord Jesus, in these days, with all of our hearts, to seek the kingdom first. We want to shape our wings to catch the wind of your Spirit by meditating on your faithfulness, fixing our eyes on Jesus, praying and believing, serving. Thank you, Lord. Amen.